You're listening to Pastor Larry Lee from The Gathering Place in San Bernardino, California.
This story was amazing. I very certainly think it was a very strange thing. scholastic records and achievement. And I'm still there. But I tell them the truth. I tell them that was in our first years of 1996 in America. What was the name of the primary? And it was really basically the Bible in 1934. And kids learned how to read the Bible. Their age was found. But we should have learned that again, don't you? Well, if we're just going to be goats, if we're just going to be sheep that are all straight, then goodness leads to the stand. But what would ever happen if all of a sudden we turn our hearts like obedient sheep to the Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, and we started living this house of mine? The Lord is my shepherd. You know, sense that I need to be shepherded because of my human nature that always wants to go astray. Would you go to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we're going to find the main context of our message this morning, the Lord as our shepherd. Now, chapter 9 ends in the Gospel of John with a once blind man who is excommunicated from the Jewish system. And here in chapter 10, Jesus addresses this issue by speaking of a new order, a new fold, a new flock of which the once blind man would be a part. He could be a part of it. But bear in mind, although sheep and shepherds, it sounds a little foreign to us. But, when Jesus is speaking of this new order, and the people that were listening to him say this originally, this analogy was not tailor-made for them. They all understood the role of the sheep and the shepherd. What is most likely known is what in the entire Bible, the book of Job, it records that at the end of his life and his blessings with God restored back things. He had 14,000 sheep. 14,000 sheep. Listen to this. On the day that the temple was dedicated by Solomon, he offered in sacrificial offer to God 120,000 of his sheep as a sacrifice to God. David and Moses, the two greatest leaders of the Old Testament, were both shepherds. supper that Jesus gave would wear a cotton tunic. He would be held together by the leather cord belt. On that belt there would be a little leather pouch that would hold dried fruit. And often it would also hold some little pebbles or some stones. And the sling was used, which also was on his belt, to ward off predators that would come to try to attack the wandering sheep. But an experienced shepherd, with his little sling, it was more than just ward off predators. Now, sometimes the sheep would begin to wander away from the flock, and the shepherd would take that sling and go. And pass the rock right in front of the nose of the shepherd, of the sheep. It would startle the sheep and it would get back on track. So they used it for that. And then the item attached to the belt of the shepherd was a horn of oil. And it was used to anoint the head of the sheep. And of course, the oil was worked as a kind of an insect repellent. But it was also put there to reduce the friction of the sheep that would be biting the heads. Because they always seem to be cutting heads. There was lastly another thing that was attached to the belt was a small club-like instrument that was called a rod. And that would be where the shepherd would enter into hand-to-hand combat with predators in certain situations. But the rod was also used as an instrument of correction. For that little wandering sheep, it always wanted to wander off from the fold and put himself into harm's way. The shepherd would recognize the little sheep wandering off, and that sheep take the rod and break his legs. Now the little sheep is helpless. So during that healing process, the shepherd would put the sheep up on his back, and he carried the little lamb. Sometimes in the year, the shepherds would lead their flocks away from the village to greener pastures. And when they would be out there in the pastures, they would build these corrals, if you will, and sometimes the brushes or the woven tree branches would be about 6 or 7 feet tall. And then also when they would come into the community, every shepherd in the community would have one common sheepfold. And they'd bring the sheep into this common sheepfold, and it was usually made out of stone or brick mortar. And it would be also about 6 or 7 feet tall. And the purpose for it, because theft was common amongst these sheepfolds, there would be these thieves that would mark them in two or three. And one guy would get up on the shoulders of another one and make it over the wall. And then throw them over the wall to the park that was over there. So it was very interesting. But when the shepherds would go home at night, there was always these ones that would set themselves on guard duty. somewhere in the background of the world, was this orchestra leader, this guy, the conductor, he saw it. Listen, they never drove the sheep. They never beat the sheep. They never pushed them. They led the sheep always. If you go to Israel today, you'll see shepherds just walking along with the stream of sheep following right behind them. I know this very well because growing up here in the north of the 70s, when it was open fields and the prisoner war camp, the sheep were so that the scripture declares that Jesus is our shepherd. He's our leader. And listen, he is our leader and is our shepherd. It says in Hebrews 4 that he was tempted in all points like we have been, and yet without sin. So when you listen to this, the Lord is our shepherd. And there's nothing that you're ever going to face in your life. There's nothing that you'll ever feel, whether it's something you're presently going through or something that you went through. He doesn't send us into battle or drive us into any given trial or testing. He doesn't, pontificate or speak into such a way to show that he's right, even though he always is. He always leads. Verse 4 says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Well, you can always tell when something's really being spoken, if it's not really of God. If you're truly born again and you're a sheep of God, your heart will bear witness of that. Verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then he said to them again, more certainly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, I don't know about you, but I have this word in verse number 7 again circled in my Bible. Because Jesus didn't say to them, you dumb sheep, Have you ever resisted something that the Lord has told you, only to turn on the TV or the radio and hear the same thing, or the same scripture, or the same subject being taught, or a friend comes along and shares some of the same things? So the Lord is faithful to keep coming to us time and time and time again, dealing with you and dealing with me concerning those issues that need to be addressed in our lives. God's not going to just let us do our own thing. Well, wait a minute. You say he's the door, I thought he was the shepherd. Is there a difference? Are you mixing metaphors? Well, listen. In the story of the sheepfold, whether it's out of the pasture as far as the sheepfold, there was never a door to the sheepfold. Yes, Jesus is the only one who rose again from the dead. Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen to it. It's really good to grasp the fact that Satan, not only does he want to rip us off, but tantalize you with a fancy lure of some sort. But ultimately, all that Satan wants to do is destroy you. Do you remember this little nugget in the book of Chronicles? There was a prayer by a man whose name was Jabez. His prayer that he prayed, he said, Lord, that you would keep me from evil so that it won't cause me pain or grieve me, in one translation. So often we think of sin in only in terms of grieving God, which it does. It grieves God. But Jabez, he shows a great insight in saying, keep me from evil, Lord, so that it doesn't grieve me. There's a misconception in our culture or society today that sin brings pleasure, that sin somehow is fun, and that there's happiness in a little escapade here and there, a little carnality here or there. But Jabez, this man of God, he knew better. He knew that sin would hurt him. He knew that sin would grieve him and grieve others. He caused a lot of pain to himself and pain to others. I love John 10:10, but increasingly as we hear testimonies today, and sometimes even preaching, it comes across this way. Come to Jesus. can as a result of the gospel. That's not the essence of the gospel. Listen, did you hear that? It's the result of the gospel. When you live a life before God, you're blessed in your life.
Solicitation that would
plain or severe. The touch of pain was an appendectomy. It was a rather common procedure. What made it uncommon was that this doctor, he had written a lot about a procedure, about doing this procedure, but with a local anesthetic. And no one had ever heard of a down medical bill, had ever heard about using a local anesthesia for this particular type of surgery. And so even though his thesis made sense, because there had been no one who had ever done it before, the other doctors were not averse to practice until it would be performed successfully. Well, that was the problem. He could never get anybody to volunteer to be anything. Well, one day in February, there was an unusual medical procedure that took place because, you see, the patient was the doctor. He became his own patient. He became the patient in order that future patients might trust their doctors. Listen, Jesus did something for you and did something for me so much more remarkable than that. He willingly laid down his life that we might find life. The shepherd became the sheep that we sheep might know our shepherd. As an Old Testament believer, if you wanted to be touched by God, you would bring a lamb to the temple, and there the priest would carefully inspect and scrutinize it for any spot or blemish. Listen, it wasn't the worshiper who was scrutinized or judged. It was the lamb that was scrutinized and judged. Well, there lies this fabulous truth about Jesus Christ. I can be guided by the Father tonight, led by the Father tomorrow. I can expect to receive abundant life. I can look forward to His blessings upon me and upon my family, upon our city, upon our nation. I can trust God that He's going to anoint my head with oil, that He'll take care of all of the predators that try to come after me and get me. I can expect that He'll lead me at times, even to the most difficult places. I can expect all those things of my God. Because it's not because I'm spotless, but it's because He's spotless. Because the Lamb has been inspected and found perfect. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain in your life. He is. So that we can know and trust our shepherd. Hallelujah. I can receive blessings not because I'm going to church. Not because, I read 15 chapters in the Bible yesterday. Not because I'm not watching television or cut off my cable. I enjoy the blessings of God upon my life. You can say the same thing. Solely because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. I lay down my life, Jesus said. He didn't say, you better lay yours down if you expect to be blessed. The blessing that He does call us to discipleship. And discipleship means taking up your cross and denying yourself, taking up that cross. My entry, your entry into the presence of God is not based upon who I am, who you are, what I've done, what you've done. What you don't do. It is based completely and solely upon what Jesus Christ has done for us. What He got on the cross. The shepherd became a lamb. But we don't see like not the shepherd.